If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here in Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. That's what we like to say here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR and other networks. Are you ready to go? I'm a magical engineer. Magical engineer Frank. People want to know who you are. Oh, Frank is the magic on the board. That's what I call them. We got a great show. We are going to be talking in the first part of the show about science policy core concern. What is science core concern with regard to its overall policy? I bet you'd like to know, because it does. What, Frank? Money, Frank? Well, yes, Frank. But we're gonna reveal the thinking network. What they're thinking. And so you can kind of, you know, not be shocked when things were all out. We got that. We have our crack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi for righteous men and women in uniform. As you know, I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face. And Colossians 3 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Ooh, amen to that. Amen and amen. So if that's what you want, seek the Lord's face. Mind time, because this invitation does expire soon. And don't waste another day in making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Say it now, with your lips, out loud, and mean it, and watch things turn for the better for you. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Cleveland Clinic confirms that COVID jabs systematically destroy the immune system. This is interesting. Cleveland Clinic had some data. They showed that when a person gets vaccinated over and over and over again, it weakens the immune system further each time. This was they had a lot of, I guess employees that worked at Cleveland Clinic. Some got vaccinated, some didn't. So they did a comparison. 65,000 people work for the Cleveland Clinic. So they did an internal company data analysis on the COVID jab uptake and the results of health consequences regarding it. The outcomes of natural immunity versus jab immunity was on the table being compared. So the Cleveland Clinic took their employees, all the clinical trial subjects there, and compared the health of the unvaccinated employee with the vaccinated one. Based on what they found, it was clear that the people that got the vaccine were less protected against COVID infection than those who left their natural immunity intact. Further, the more COVID jabs you took, it said, based on the data, the less protected you became. So they did produce this study. It is showing the original COVID injection series is not effective. Not only is it not effective, it's an anti-effective, meaning it is better off, you're better off not getting it, they're saying. Here's a quote. There is therefore not a vaccine against the present strain of COVID, reported the report. It is an anti-vaccine, but it damages your immune system in a dose-dependent manner. So the more shots you took, the more damage it did to the immune system. End of quote. Wow. Well, moving along in the quacker. The World Health Organization releases an internal pandemic treaty. They want to force governments to target disinformation in digital form, in all forms, and also in your physical environment. So they're preparing this international treaty that would basically cut out free speech, government accountability on a global scale. The new treaty would force 194 governments to target their own citizens for spreading what they considered misinformation and disinformation. So anyone that wanted to tell the truth about, I don't know, the World Health Organization's crimes and corruption over the last several years, well, they would be shut down. Anyone who has dissent against the vaccine passports, forced masking, lockdowns also would be targeted. So these are criminal actions. They're already taking place, but now the WHO is saying it seeks to take full command over the censorship process under the new international treaty law. All right, last but not least in the quack report, want to build up your health? It says drink some beet juice. They said beets, raw beets that are juiced, also known as blood turnips. You ever hear that? Yeah. One of the world's healthiest vegetables, they said, offering a range of incredible health benefits, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. So it's a science-backed benefit on beet juice to promote optimum health. There was a report that a 100 milliliter serving of organic beet juice is equivalent, small glass, contains no fat, but lots of protein, natural sugars, fiber, carbohydrates, minerals, vitamins, antioxidants, and plant proteins. Helps reduce oxidative stress and also prevents deficiencies in nutritional elements. I am here to say I agree with that, because I include beets in my morning beverage, juice, called the Body Foundation Food Mix that has beets in it. Helps the blood system. And I know it's working because when we did a blood analysis, it was for insurance purposes at work. The agent said, the lab said your blood work came back, best blood work they've ever seen. You can have that too. Yes, you can. Be empowered out there. God's herbs are good. Well, and that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Woo, thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about... Oh, Frank says you got our clip, correct? Yes, he's got our clip that we didn't get to play Tuesday, but we're going to play today. It's called The Liberty Matrix. I'll introduce that shortly, probably for the second half of the show. And be empowered out there nationwide. Nationwide empowerment is a-coming. We're going to talk about science policy core concern. What are their core concerns? Well, lately we've been delving into the ethical side of science and finding there are some problems there. And we hear that there are, you know, rules, there's policies, there are ethical training classes scientists need to abide and do, but often it's treated as a suggestion in the scientific community. So what does science consider to be important in their profession? In general, there is an overall protection for the creative aspect of science, all the creative processes. They don't want anybody to, you know, neutralize that. Here's a quote from the University of Edinburgh. Science policy focuses on knowledge production and role of knowledge networks, collaborations, and complex distributions of expertise, equipment, and know-how. They go on to say, understanding the processes and the organizational context of generating novel and inventive science processes and also in engineering ideas is our core concern of science policy. So, understanding, protecting the creative processes. They go on to say, science policy is defined as being an area of public policy which is concerned with the policies that affect the conduct of the science and the research enterprise, often in pursuance of other national policy goals such as technological innovation, weapon development, healthcare, and environmental monitoring, end of quote. Ooh, citizens being monitored. Well, so I guess if you can imagine it, that's their motto. According to the publication Issues, Science, and Technologies, they said the next 75 years is going to transform the scientific field. And it is suggested that science is going to create a new moral code. Here's a quote from the article. It says, this was June 2022. They say, from life-saving vaccines to weapons of mass destruction, engineers seem willing to and able to take on any enterprise for the right price. How can engineering become better aligned with sustainability, justice, peace, and human rights? End of quote. Apparently, there is this conflict in which areas of science, such as engineering even, has made some worthy contributions to society, but the flip side is they are also making some dangerous decisions, putting society at risk. Another quote from the article said, engineers are also complicit in degrading things such as unwarranted surveillance and even monstrous projects like the atom bomb. Well, yeah, and I've known engineers that struggled morally with that, you know, that area of their profession. Another quote, they say, engineers sometimes seem so interested in answering questions of technical feasibility that they may overlook questions of purpose or ulterior motive. This tendency raises the question, does engineering have a moral compass? Well, you know, That's kind of like how I felt about a lot of things in science, healthcare, medical research. It's sort of like, well, there's the mountain. Let's climb it because it's there. You know, let's see what happens. And I can understand, you know, research has to push boundaries sometimes, but at what cost? So this question can be asked of science in general. Does it have a moral compass? Especially, you know, when it comes to medical health care. I ask that a lot. So the race to be the first to obtain a patent for the COVID shot perhaps shrouded the ethical and moral boundaries with regard to informed consent and traditional and ethical research. Anyone can villainize just about anything. However, due to the power and influence of these areas in science, it needs to have an ethical boundary, some oversight, penalties for those who cross the line. Now, our problem is these three elements have not been established, really. Policies, yeah. Oversight, but people look the other way. And penalties, not so much. So there is no enforcement of penalties and for wrongdoers. What's the point? Now, the argument often is that such measures would stifle creative research and inhibit invention. I don't think so. So, you know, so it's the code. What code are they going to live by? What code are they going to work by? Big debate on regulations for industries like this, such as science has been. Well, all these debates have been ongoing for a long time. Lots of talk about code of ethics. Conversations on moral code is a positive note, but it won't amount to a hill of beans unless there is protections for whistleblowers and penalties to deter the risk takers. See? You gotta be a watchman on the wall is what you need. You need a watchman on the wall. Now, issues, science, and technology is another quote from them. They say, codes of ethics seek to give direction and set constraints for practitioners, right? But if it doesn't have any teeth, it's a suggestion, right? So plugging the loopholes is also something that has to be addressed in current code of ethics. Loopholes are considered moneymakers. Another way of saying it, plausible deniability. Here's a quote. The lack of attention given to moral dilemmas in engineering and science and the values that undergird these areas itself can allow engineers and medical science to disclaim responsibility. End of quote. Well, let's get a new course, they say. That's what they're having discussions. Let's have a new course. People in the industry, especially in engineering, they're seeing the writing on the wall. We need a new course here. So people know we have a serious problem, especially within our science areas. Now, some in the science community say that science needs a new, solid, well-defined course. So how can a new policy work then? Well, you can draft anything you want on paper, but good policy has to be upheld by good people for it to work. And anything good is based in God's ways. So whatever you come up with, it better not conflict with God's ways. Here's another quote from the article. They said, science requires a new moral imagination that goes far beyond codes of ethics. We call for such change, and it is to be anything, if it's to be anything more than a platitude, must contemplate the incentive, the practices, the institution, the narratives that regulate engineering work. Well, we don't need platitudes, do we? No. No, we don't. So when we divert from the scriptural morals God laid out for man, this is when we get into a problem like we have now. So we don't need to reinvent morals. We need to adhere to God's moral code. That has to be worked into everything. So we got to be smart. We're intelligent. We know that finding a better way than what the Creator has given us is going to deliver confusion and chaos. There's no better way. God's way is perfect, see? So morals doesn't mean you can't be creative and invent things. It means that when you create and you invent, it needs to protect man and all of God's creation. Whatever you invent, whatever you create, has to be good. It's apparent that this is not what's happening. So when we think there's no way, God can make a way. So trusting in God is what we must do. And knowing his scripture is truth. And we all need to know the scripture so we're not going to be deceived. So we can count on God's truth to strengthen and protect us. And he promises medicinal herbs will do just that. From Genesis to Revelation, he's telling you, I made the green herb. I gave it to you. It's here for the service of man. Here, it's here for the healing of the nations. Use it. So learn how to use them. Learn how to use medicinal herbs. It's not hard. You think it may be hard. You're so used to modern healthcare, which is complex and I think a bit demonic. but modern healthcare does have its shining light, and that would be trauma care, anatomy, things like that. But drug symptom management's not one of them. It's not a wellness program at all. It's a slow poisoning program. It's my opinion. I can have one. So learn how to use the medicinal herbs. It's not hard. You'll actually get to know how your body feels using herbs. You'll get to know how your body feels eating foods. You'll be paying attention to that. You know, you will. You'll pay attention to that. So if you want to learn more, a really good place to start is the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. They also have a Power Herbs download book, which is about almost 400 pages. And you can learn how to get rid of toxins that are stumbling blocks for the body to detoxify and heal itself. So you want to get those out of the way. You'll learn about herbs that will stimulate and help your immune system work better. You'll learn about how to make your own tinctures. And you'll have a symptom herb reference guide in there that can you see what your herbal options are. So herbs never go out of style. It's for all time. It's like the living word of God. It's never going to go away. So thepowerherbs.com, if you want to go on there. Now, the book is a download. That's the Power Herbs book, the 400-page book. That's a download. You can select PDF format, Kindle or iPad, whichever one you want. $14, $14.99. Now, the catalog's free, and you can kind of flip through the catalog. I know you're probably going to have questions, so you can definitely give them a call. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. So our friends in the U.K., Australia, and New Zealand, we can ship direct to you. Yeah. We can ship under a certain amount to you, so it's not like you can't get some of these wonderful herbs God's provided us. Now they're having a sale, a VIP sale, so you'll save 25% on orders of $55 or more. And the sale runs through February 20th, so you have a little time, a great time to get things you need, get acquainted with herbs, do your cleansing, do your immune boosting, get stocked up for whatever rainy day may be coming. So you have medicinal medicines on hand with a shelf life of 10 years. Yeah, these whole food elements have a long shelf life if you properly store them in an environmentally controlled area. So thepowerherbs.com. Now, if you do have an email, If you do have email, definitely sign up for the newsletters that go out each week. They're absolutely free. And you'll get empowering news every week that you could share with family and friends and pass on the empowerment. So there's options out there. They're out there. Sometimes you have to dig for things, but it's like digging in the soil and finding a gold coin. You know, it's very valuable. So when you find knowledge and tools that will help even reverse a problem, that is priceless. Because health is, we can't put a price on health, you know, you just can't. So, I know a lot of people are sick and tired of the drug therapies, the constant copays, the prescription, they're just tired of all that. And they, a lot of them complain they don't feel any better. Well, symptom management is not a cure. It's just managing your problem for you. So, it tends to start with lifestyle sometimes. We have to evaluate our lifestyle. And it matters what we put in the body. So, you'll learn how to be super sensitive to things that are, maybe you're allergic to. It's creating a lot of havoc in there. A lot of inflammation, a lot of mucus, a lot of problems. So learn to know the difference. Talking to a lady today, Frank, said she had a cataract. I said, well, the eyes don't like tannic acid, and it can contribute to conditions such as that. Macular degeneration. So tannic acid is off the list, and you'll do yourself a favor. So what's in tannic acid? Well, I went down the list. Coffee, black tea, even green tea, anything with caffeine. Herb teas are fine. Wine, even white wine, and those things have tannic acids. You can kind of Google what has tannic acid on the internet, and you need to remove those items from the lifestyle. And your eyes will love you. Within 2 months, you'll see a big difference. 2 months. It can take a while for a lot of the proteins from those types of foods and the acids and the inflammation to leave the system. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'll just take an Advil. No, don't take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. When it comes to your eyes and cataracts and macular issues, it doesn't help you there. It makes it worse. A lot of research on that. That wasn't from my opinion. That was a study. So we have to be smarter. You know, we have to look out for ourselves now and be smart about it and be noticing even small changes in the body and make a mental note of that. Sometimes we're allergic to our diet and just don't know it. Oh, I can see by the clock we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be playing a clip. I'll introduce the clip when we come back. So more information coming your way. Be right back.
Okay, this one's for Gabby.
To the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. easy to use, and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Thank you, Frank. You always pick them, you know. I thank you so much for that. We are going to be listening to a little clip that Frank has prepared for us here. This is on the Liberty Matrix. If you haven't heard of it, it is the largest U.S. granite monument in the United States, and it's in Plymouth, Massachusetts. You know, when I was growing up, Frank, I never went on a field trip to see this thing. Went to the Liberty Bell and the Statue of Liberty, but I never went to see this thing. So this is what the Founding Fathers put in place in the 1700s to remind us of what helps make a free and peaceful and prosperous nation. It's the recipe for success. So let's play the clip. I know you can't see the visual, but just listen carefully to the clip.
There's nothing like bones to remind you of your heritage. And that's why I like bringing people up here, because it reminds us of our own mortality, reminds us that we are in a relay race. We're in a generational relay race. And they understood that.
This is Wayne Rafters. Great. That's him. He's the governor for 30 years of the Pilgrim Colony. He lost his wife the first winter, who fell off the back of the Mayflower. She was the first one to die. He's one of those that survived the first winter. He's one that went on and became their governor and their faithful leader for all this time. And this is, they built this for him many years later. But they did put a Hebrew inscription that says, Jehovah is our help. That's from him, because he himself taught himself Hebrew to be closer to Moses, closer to the Old Testament, so he could be closer to God. They had a love for God and a love for their families and a love for freedom that brought them to this world. And William Bradford exemplifies that.
I wish they had left us some kind of a training manual, some kind of a secret sauce recipe card that we could pick up and go, all right, here's what it is, here's what we do. What do we do? How do we get back to that?
Now, when the children of Israel going into the Promised Land, they crossed the Jordan River and God stood it on end and they walked across. And before the waters stopped parting, God told them to take 12 stones from the bottom of the river and put it up on the top of Mount Gilgal and make a monument. So that when your children ask, what are these stones? You'll be able to tell them, this is where God parted the sea. And that's what the pilgrims left us. They left us a monument that not only gives tribute to what was accomplished here, but it gives us a specific strategy, a breakout of a blueprint of if we would ever forget what made America great, what made us free, we can go back and follow that strategy, and it's right up on a hill a half mile from here.
Right here?
Right here.
It's 180 tons of solid granite. It's the largest granite monument in America, and it's hidden on a hilltop overlooking Plymouth in a residential neighborhood.
I've never heard of this.
Hardly anybody in America knows about it, and yet the people of America put this together over a 70-year period, paid for by the Congress, paid for by the state legislature in Massachusetts, as a strategy laid out, we call it the Matrix of Liberty, that was given to us by the forefathers, by the pilgrims. And they, those 130 years ago, when they built this, wanted to leave this behind for us. So that if we would ever forget how liberty is built, we would know what to do to regain it.
This is how they did it.
This is how they did it. Now, if somebody else wants to try another way, which is what's happening today in America, we're trying 1,000 ways to turn America around, but this is the way it was done. This is it. The only successful strategy of liberty that has ever been carried out in the history of mankind. Well, let's walk through it.
And
take this strategy apart. What does this mean? What are they trying to tell us here?
Where do you start?
Well, her name is Faith. It says so right there. And she is pointing her finger to heaven. Why?
Where God is.
Where God is, because her faith is in the God of the Bible. In Jesus Christ. They knew that the only faith that could bring true liberty was a faith in the one true God and His Bible. And you see a Bible there, an open Bible. It's a Geneva Bible. The pages are opened up, which meant that they read it. And as they read it, and as they had faith in God, He gave them wisdom. That's why you see the star on her forehead. She's given wisdom to know how to live in this world. And all of the rest of these statues, each one weighing almost 20 tons, is tied to faith. Because without faith, it falls apart. And that's the beginning of it all.
Where do we go from there?
From here, you need to go to character or morality, and you'll notice...
Because that's the internal liberty.
That is the internal liberty, which is the beginning of all freedom. She is called morality. Notice that
She has no eyes. That is on purpose because she's looking internal, internal character, the transformation of the heart first, and then that brings external transformation. And notice that she has the Ten Commandments in her left hand and the scroll of Revelation in the right. What would that signify?
The Bible.
Exactly. That if you want to have morality, there has to be a standard. And more than that, there has to be an internal transformation. This is speaking of the need to internalize and allow God to change our hearts and our minds first.
Because from in England, you had top-down morality imposed on people. Do this, do that. You're moralizing people, but you're saying their morality started in the heart.
In the heart. It had to be changed here. They realized
inside.
Just because you said you were a member of a church, like the Church of England, didn't make you a Christian. And you see this over on the side. The side statues give an explanation of what the meaning of this is for us. That's why we need the evangelist. You see the evangel here writing down the Gospels. And there's a need for evangelists. Why? Because we need to have the Gospel of the great liberating Gospel of Christ that says He came to set us free first.
So this is completely contrary to the way the rest of the world had done it up to this point. The pilgrims are saying that morality starts internally with the gospel. The evangelist has to preach the message that transforms the heart, and then you want to do what's right, rather than being forced to do what's right from the king who tells you what good and bad is.
That's it.
Okay, what's next?
What's next is, and you see the development of it, if you want to have a free civilization, you need to have civil authority or civil law that will give a base for that freedom. In other words, you've got to have some degree of order in society. And that order, as you see here, is built upon law. The principles of God's law then are related into the civil law. And that's what we see here in his left hand. We also see his hand, his right hand, is extended in mercy. Mercy toward those that he's dealing justice with. Why? Because this form of law has a degree of equity in it. You see this in the side statues where
it's...
Yeah, yeah. Justice. She's holding the scales of justice with justice and equity, which means that, you know, when a crime is committed, it should be cared for in terms of its punishment, the same for the rich and for the poor and for everyone else. There should be equality under the law. On the other side, we notice that this form of law is different than the laws of so many nations that are built on tyrants, that are built on, if the Aztecs wanted to cut your heart out, they just cut your heart out. Here, mercy. Mercy built upon the base that he offers us, mercy and grace, along with law. And in this form of law, there is that tremendous mercy.
So you have to start with faith. Faith in the true God that produces the internal morality of the heart. You have a standard by which to judge what good and bad is, and then you create a moral system of law to have a basis for a free and just society that can mete out justice when crimes are committed, but also extend mercy to people and show them grace.
And then that gives you the freedom. Once you have a society that's built like this, now you have a civility in society. Now you can educate your children. Here, they could train them. And you see the lady here in the statue of education. And she is opening the Word of God or the Book of Knowledge. And she has got the wreath of victory she's wearing, about a 25-year-old woman. She is educating her children, and she is sitting in victory. Why is she sitting in victory? Because she has trained her children up in the way they should go and prepared them so that the next generation that came after them would know the strategy of how to carry on the truth and carry on a free civilization. Isn't that amazing?
And what's on her side over here?
Over here, you see her training her child, and she has a book in her one hand, and then he has a scroll where he is writing on the other. And this is youth, trained in their youth. It was the parents' responsibility to educate. And so this would be the mother training up a child in the way he should go.
You know, what I think is interesting is that they had just left England and left this top-down government system. So when they got here, their idea of education wasn't send your kids off to a government school to educate them. It was the parents' responsibility to do this, particularly because their worldview was different than the government's worldview, which would have been, no, you're a nobody, you're a slave, you just lay down on your back and do whatever the king says, which is sort of the attitude that we get in most governments today, is that you just do whatever the government says, whereas they're saying, no, it's our responsibility as parents to educate our kids and to teach them faith and internal morality and to understand the importance of fair, just, and merciful laws.
And it's passed down from generation to generation. And if you see on the other side, you'll see how the grandfathers played a role. For it's not just the father. Of course, the father and the mother are the key educators. But the key is the hoary heads. Those are the older ones who also have a role. Because you see the guy with the beard here. He's the old guy. And what do you see his left hand pointing to?
There's a book, and it looks like you got the Ten Commandments again.
Ten Commandments and an open Bible. Okay? And so he, being older and wiser, he knows the commandments, he knows the Word of God, and then he is pointing to that, and then on the other side, what do you see of him?
That's the world.
The world, right. So he is teaching the younger generation, both his daughter and his grandchildren, how the world works from a biblical perspective. And all of this leads to something, Kirk, and that's, you see the strategy building. From the internal to the external, to the law, to education, to pass it on to the next generation. And what are they passing on? They're passing on liberty. And this is what is the result of living out that strategy. In his name is liberty. Liberty Man.
Look at this guy. He's a
Liberty
stud.
Hero. Now, this guy is not a guy you want to mess with, right? And he's seated in liberty.
Okay. Explain who this guy is. Liberty Man.
Liberty Man, the Liberty Hero that he represents, is the fruit. He is the result of obeying the matrix of liberty that you see on this monument. And he is seated in liberty. Now, I want you to be careful to notice these details. Notice that he's holding broken chains in his left hand. Notice that he has, where the chains were, bound to his legs. Notice that he is now seated in liberty. He's got that good look on his face like, listen, I'm free, but I'm looking out, defending my liberty, but I'm free. And notice the claw that is on his right shoulder. That claw relates to a skin that goes around to the left here, and you see a lion's head, an entire lion skin that ultimately represented the lion of the English tyrant back in those days.
So he has slain the lion.
He's slain the lion, and that's what it says here on the left. Tyranny is defeated, and you see Liberty Man standing over tyranny with his foot on the chest of tyranny. He's holding tyranny down. And again, the pilgrims won this victory without violence of any kind, except living out God's principles.
You know, one of the things that's striking me is the fact that this is talking about our forefathers, the pilgrims, but this guy is not some wimpish little religious guy. I mean, this guy is a stud, right?
Yeah.
He's strong. He's looking out. He has just defeated a beast, and he's got a sword in his hand.
That's right.
And he's here to protect, right?
That's right.
He's here to protect his family and to defend the laws that they have made and ultimately to defend their values and their character, their faith.
Exactly, exactly. And it shows you that if you do it right, you can be strong as an individual, you can defend liberty, and if need be, you can fight. You don't want to fight, but if you have to, you're ready. But the point is, because you've done it God's way, there is a long-term blessing that goes with it.
This is awesome!
This is it! This is it! So, Kirk, this is that recipe. This is that strategy, that matrix that was what built America. This is it. And if we want to try something else, yeah, people can try other things. But in the history of the world, the one strategy that has brought more liberty, more prosperity, and more joy than any other is this strategy. Why would you go anywhere else?
That's just the question. Thank you, Frank, for playing that. You can type in Liberty Matrix in YouTube and watch the, I think it was, 15-minute video. So you can see the monument as they walk through it. But it is definitely something American school children don't visit, don't know about. We have kept that knowledge from them. Why? Well, it's all about freedom and liberty, isn't it? And as you probably know, freedom isn't self-executing. You have to defend it. Mm-hmm. All right, so I hope you enjoyed that. Hope it inspired you. Hope you gave you some peace. You know, God is, you know, where the presence of God is, there is liberty. That's what the Holy Scripture says, and God can't lie. So if you want a nation that has liberty, you have to have God in it. That's just the way it is. All right, we got a few minutes, so I want to talk real quickly about one of the glands of the body that's real important for immune system function, and that is your thymus gland. Here is a quote from the National Library of Medicine in 2015. They say vaccines have been suspected of playing a role in introducing autoimmune disease for a long time. Although science has not found the direct cause, there are many isolated cases of or series of cases of arthritis, vasculitis, central or peripheral nervous system symptoms following a vaccine that have all been reported. So the role of your adjuvants in your vaccines has been described by other teams in a more general syndrome called autoimmune autoinflammatory syndrome induced by adjuvants. So this, the case of the autoimmune disease triggered by vaccines are highly rare, they say, and raise questions about the interaction between vaccines and their adjuvants and the generic content of the immune system diseases. All right, so there was this Harvard Medical School. They published a report in July of 2022. June of 2022, and then there was another journal article, July of 2022, in the journal Cell. They were talking about how your immune system gets taught. Your T-cells, which are your antibodies, they are taught to be able to discern between host cells and also disease or infectious cell invaders. So according to the report, science knew your thymus gland was involved in your immune system, but at the time they weren't sure how, but they've learned how it works since then. So what they report is your thymus gland trains the killer T cells of the immune system, which cells are you or self and which are not. So when you get an autoimmune system disease, what does science say you have? You have an immune system that's confused. It attacks you, and it thinks that you are the disease. So what has gone on there? Seriously. Here's a quote. Science Daily, they say the human immune system is a nearly perfect defense mechanism. It protects the body from disease-causing bacteria, viruses, and other pathogens. It detects tumors and eradicates them. It clears up cellular debris at the site of an injury or an infection. So here's science saying your immune system is perfect, as it is, the way God made it. They also went on to say science has known about the general principle underlying the selective ability of the thymus gland and the immune system cells for some time. But exactly how that immune system cell learns to distinguish between host and foreign ones was not understood. So they have come a long way, and they know your thymus gland is responsible for a healthy immune system. So my thinking is a lot of the vaccines with the adjuvants are attacking this process and causing the autoimmune issue. So the Harvard research states they've identified this mechanism that explains how your body's most powerful system of defense educates the immune cells and protects you. This information could be a double-edged sword, of course, and research is saying that it will help drug companies make mechanisms to prevent autoimmune issues, blah, blah, blah. However, people would not have autoimmune issues if they were not given vaccines to begin with. So the lesson here is that the vaccines attack the thymus gland. However, science wants to reinvent something here. They said this, think of it as having your body recreated in a thymus gland. That's what they're saying about their new vaccine treatments. So here we have research saying your immune system's perfect the way it is, and then other areas of science say, nope, we're going to change it. So initially, there is really nothing wrong with your immune system. It gets disabled or injured in the process of getting a vaccine. This is Dane Mathis, professor of immunology, Harvard. He says, this research is helping us understand the adaptive immune system cells and how they acquire their ability to discern friend from foe. So glitches in the critical recognition system can have grave consequences. So if you disrupt the education of the cells in the thymus gland, yeah, you have grave consequences because then you have no immune system. So this is Daniel Mikkelsen, Harvard medical doctor. He says, our immune system is super powerful. It can kill any cell in our body. It can control any pathogen we encounter. It is this powerful, and if we leave it unchecked, maybe even lethal. Well, I don't think God's immune system was meant to be lethal to us. I thought it was meant to defend us. And let's see, he goes on to say, T cells get educated in your thymus gland, but it has been a mystery how that immune system cell can identify your cells, your gut cells, your pancreas cells from invading pathogen cells. So they're still struggling to understand how God's creation works. So, but their next step, he says, is to acquire a deeper understanding of the molecule mechanisms and to that may undermine the T cell education system and the mechanism that plays out in the human thymus. Well, leave it alone. That's what I'm saying to medicine. Leave it alone because you know you're going to find out and then that information in the wrong hands is going to create another bioweapon to hurt people. That's our problem, our dilemma. Like we said in the first part of the show, is the moral code issue. Okay, yeah, they want to create, they want to understand, fine. But there's got to be some boundaries so that, you know, it can't be a creation of mass destruction, basically. So we're in a problem here, an ethical moral problem, and a lot of our problems really stem from kicking God out of our nation. That's what we did. We kicked them out of schools. We kicked them out of the court system. We kicked them out of the Supreme Court and the White House. So what do you expect? See? And the problem is, the Bible says when a nation goes astray like that and we've totally rejected God, he forgets the children, the generations to come. So be careful out there. Do your immune support herbs. They're there for a reason. God gave them to you. We'll talk more about the thymus gland next week, but I'm out of time. Don't forget the apothecary herbs, the power herbs folks have a sale, 25% off, runs through the 20th. Great time to pick up things, especially before prices go up with the new catalog that's going to be released soon. The powerherbs.com or give them a call at 866-229-3663. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical doctor before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, wish you all to be well.